It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. He knows sports.
What if we made you like an ice crew member for the Islanders?
An ice cream vendor?
And he's very humble.
Your mother.
So now it's time to see if you can stump Rothenberg.
So I love paying attention. They got Silva.
Who is Silva? Who is Silva? It's a great question. 1-800-919-3776. RJ, remember when I threw out the gauntlet and said we don't start this until we have a full bank of phone lines all lit up?
Certainly do.
Well, that's where we are right now. So now we can start. Rick, you're going to have your question. Yours is going to be NBA related. This is my belief.
Maybe.
Maybe. RJ has, he said a very difficult five-pack of questions.
I felt like last week was hard.
Last week was difficult. There's a golf question on the line, which I'm going to need your help with.
I could have gone golf.
Yeah, but I probably wouldn't know.
Right,
but Andy North.
Can't wait. I will watch every...
Buys golf!
I was honestly...
Patty Harrington.
I was maybe 3 seconds away from calling Andy North.
I knew exactly
Peter
where you
North
were going.
During a live hit from SportsCenter. And decided last second, this is not going to be a good idea.
Audible?
Yeah.
So you were on SportsCenter?
I was on SportsCenter. It was me and Elle, and it was... Matt was doing the SportsCenter from down... At Augusta.
Oh, okay. I guess they were under the desk.
Well, no, they were the
what?
Well, he said Dan. I didn't know where it was. I thought maybe he was like Matt Barry here under the desk.
Yeah. No, almost done. I'll be right up. But so he was doing it.
I'm in a fort.
No, so Andy was down there with him. And then Matt started busting chops, and my next comment was gonna be something about him with Peter North, and I was like, probably not the time.
Yeah, you know what? Probably a good position. Yeah,
right. What do you think happens if he does that?
Like, L's probably horrified. They cut away.
No, I think L laughs. I think L laughs.
I think L is
loves
it goes
it
right over her head.
Yeah. No, I think she knows when she laughs.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
She's got a great sense of humor.
Got very different opinions.
Yeah. She laughs.
Get L on the phone. Let's see if she knows who Peter North is.
People in charge are like, not.
Come on, man.
Yeah, not great.
You think that ends your hits on SportsCenter? Yes. Right
you're
there.
You're better than that.
You think they take like the cane and just pull you off the stage like the Gong Show?
Drag me
out. And he's done. All right, let's start out the way we always do. Andy in Merrick. Andy, lead us off on Stump Rothenberg.
Good morning, Dave and Rick. Dave, I have Giants draft question. A fair one, and if you want to partake, an unfair one to prove to the world you are the Giants.
Let's start with the fair one.
Yeah, the first question. The Giants have drafted 15 players from North Carolina. Two were first rounders. Obviously, Lawrence Taylor's one. Who was the other one?
It's somewhat recent. It's in the last 15, 20 years. Akeem Nicks.
That was easy. You ready for the hard one?
Is it a Giants draft question as well?
It is. It is.
All right.
You're going to prove to the world you are the
maybe
Giants.
Stop doing this to me.
In the history of the Giants, hundreds of draft picks, there has only been one from the University of Louisville. Can you name him? Played 8-9 years for the Giants, so he's not a nobody.
8-9 years for the Giants. Louisville. So I'm thinking of Louisville guys. So Deion Branch, obviously not a Giant. Roman Oben, offensive lineman.
Wow! Give him the ding!
Thank you.
I am too smart!
Okay. It's a good start.
Real good start.
I'm the Giants!
Give me the sheep one again. Do you have the handy?
What's the sheep one?
Well, this is when you had your nervous breakdown when I was gone.
I literally played it yesterday.
I love it. Oh, sheep, sheep, sheep.
Yeah, I love
sheep!
It.
Sheep! Sheep! Why was I screaming sheep, sheep?
Because he called fans sheep. And you,
he called you guys fans.
Yeah, sheep!
You
sheep!
Guys fans sheep.
So I took exception because I don't look at myself as sheep.
You're not a sheep. You're many other animals.
You're the Giants.
But you're not. Yeah, you are the Giants. You're many other animals.
How dare you?
Sheep! Sheep!
How dare you? Patty in Schenectady. I'm told this is a real tough question. Have at it, Patty.
How's it going, fellas? Good morning. Good to talk to you as always. Got an MLB question for you.
All right.
So, as of this year, Tyler O'Neill now holds the record for most consecutive opening day home runs with 5. He just passed Yogi Berra and 2 other people. My question is, and I'll even give you the number, it's 3. 3 consecutive years in a row, this player hit a home run on his opening at bat.
Oh. Opening at bat of the season?
Yes. A New York guy, I'll even give you that. It's a New York guy.
A New York guy. So he did it with a local team?
He did, correct.
All right, well. I don't know.
Ask the question again.
Okay, so what player, he's a New York guy,
yep,
homered in 3 consecutive years on his opening at bat? First at bat of the season, home run.
Bobby Abreu.
No, but not a bad guess.
I have no idea.
That's a tough question.
I'll give you one more. He is a Met in the last 20 years.
That doesn't, this is absolutely nothing for me. I mean, I just don't know the answer, so I'm going to see. I will guess Edgardo Alfonso.
Very close. You want the answer?
Sure.
Okay. Infamous or famous, Kaz Matsui.
Oh, I never got
100 guesses you wouldn't got that.
Never. I don't even remember anything about Kaz Matsui.
I'm stunned to learn that.
What, the answer is Kaz Matsui?
Yeah.
All right, I feel fine that I didn't know that. That's okay. Let's continue along. We're going to go golf. Austin in Ridgefield. Austin, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hang on a second, Austin.
What up?
You're listening to DiPietro and Rothenberg, 98.7 ESPN, WEPN FM. Where? New York. Yeah. All right, Austin. Have at it now.
All right, in light of the Masters this weekend, I got the golf question. So there's only been 5 players ever to win all 4 majors in golf. I'm going to give you one because it's a little tough. Gene Sarazen in 1932. I'm asking, who are the other 4?
Tiger? Yes, no, Tiger?
Ding.
Did Ben Hogan do it?
Ding.
Okay. Did Jack do it? Jack?
Mm-hmm.
Ding.
This guy wears all black.
Oh, he was the South Gary Player?
Yep.
Oh, boom.
You got it.
That wasn't so... I did pretty good on that.
Done.
Real good.
Yeah. All right. Nice. And then Gene Sarazen, he said, as well. So it's 5. That's nice. Here we go. All right, let's go to Colby in Pennsylvania. Colby, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Oh, good morning, Dave and Rick. Well, not too many positives about our Mets so far this year. This is a question about Mets success in the past.
All right.
I want you to name any 2 out of the last 3 Mets to hit for the cycle.
So it's got to be recent ones, huh?
Yes, the most 3 recent ones. I just want any 2 of the last 3.
Did Reyes hit for the cycle? Oh, Eduardo Escobar hit for the cycle.
That's one of them.
Two of the last three. Who else hit for the cycle? Because I don't think they've had a lot in their history.
If it helps, they've had 11 total.
Yeah, well, not a lot in 60-plus years. Guys who have hit for the cycle for the Mets, but it's got to be the most recent ones. So Escobar, I remember. I think Reyes did it, but I don't know that he's going to be in that most recent grouping. I know Keith Hernandez did it, but he's definitely not going to be in your most recent. All right. I don't know, but I'm going to go Jose Reyes. I think he might have done it, but I'm uncertain whether he's in your last three. So I'll go Escobar and Jose Reyes.
Do that ding, Raymond.
All right. That was nice. That was nice.
That was real nice.
A lot of baseball questions today.
A lot of baseball right season, buddy.
Let's go to Dave in Jackson. Dave, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Good morning, guys. Good morning, company. This question might have been asked because me and Raymond were talking when it was being asked, so I'm hoping not because I'm pretty sure it's going to stump you.
All right.
Who was the first MLB player to hit a home run in his first appearance at the plate in his first three seasons?
So each of his first at-bats, he hit a home run?
That's correct, yep.
Is it Kaz Matsui?
It must have been X, right?
No, it was not. All right, how about that? Give me the ding. Let's go.
Give him the ding.
All right, away we go. Can you believe I knew that?
No.
I mean, that was...
That's one of the great moments in Stump... Stump history.
That I mean, right, Kaz Matsui.
Right,
who would even remember?
No one.
When was the last time you heard the name Kaz Matsui?
A long time.
Minutes. Yes. Noah Bergen. Noah, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Good morning, guys. I have another Mets question. I want to know who is the only person to hit a home run on each of his first three at-bats.
No, stop it. Come on.
I'd be amazed if you knew that. I haven't heard of this guy in a long time. Okay, so here's the real question. The question is, Brandon Nimmo had himself a night on Monday. Two home runs, four hits, five RBIs. Who is the only other Met to ever do that from the leadoff spot?
Oh, my God.
It's very hard.
I mean, my God.
How do you even find this question?
I looked it up on Baseball Reference using
Lance Johnston.
It was before Lance Johnston, but not that much before.
I don't.
It's from when Rick was a child.
When Rick was a child.
Because he and I are the same age.
I mean, I don't know. So we're talking, when were you a child? Like mid-80s?
Yeah.
Late 80s.
I don't know. Wally Backman. I don't know. Is he going to talk, you think?
Can he hear you? Noah.
Yeah. Oh, I hear you.
Yeah.
Hear
what's
you.
The answer? He doesn't know it.
Yeah.
The answer is Greg Jeffrey.
Oh, all right. Boy, these are brutal questions, aren't they?
I just don't know how he researched that.
Right. Like I don't know.
I don't even know how would you research that in Baseball Reference?
Yeah, you could probably Google who's the last Met to have two home runs, four hits, and
but he said he went on Baseball Reference today. How would you
I don't know. Let's go to I wish there was a higher level of question. I don't like these, you know, in-depth minutia Mets questions. Mike in Ossining. Mike, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Good morning, gentlemen. Question for you, Dave. What position player has the most gold gloves of all time and bonus points if you can tell me how many?
All right, so Gold Gloves, you think Ozzie Smith. It might be Brooks Robinson, actually. Now, Greg Maddux had a billion, but obviously it's a pitcher. I'm going to say Brooks Robinson. Final answer.
And that's why you're a, legend, Dave. Bonus points. Can you tell me how many?
I think it's 18-ish. 17,
18. An 18-time All-Star with 16 gold gloves in a row. That is just crazy.
All right. There you have it. 16. Thanks, man. Sorry to cut you off. 16. That's good. That's a better question.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Let's go to Dan in Jersey. Dan, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Good morning, Dave. Good morning, Rick. Shout out to the company.
You were that far away from saying good morning, Daddy.
It's still in my head a little bit, but I want to know who is the only player in Major League history to hit a grand slam for their first home run and their 100th career home run.
Grand slam for their first home run and their 100th home run.
Dan, I'm going to ask you the same question I asked the other guy. How do you come up with this question?
I saw it last year.
Okay.
Because I remember Jacoby Ellsbury hitting a grand slam for his 100th career home run, April 28th against the 2017 against the Orioles in an 13-11 comeback when they were trailing 11-1. Or was it 9-1?
But can you find that out, please? Kevin Kuzmanoff.
No.
All right. What's the answer?
Chris Taylor. Happened last year. His 100th career home run was a grand slam.
All right. RJ.
I knew he was going to do this. I could see it. I could see it happening.
RJ.
So I'm only as good as the people that call. Where are the other options? Oh.
So is it fair to say?
He just turned the table.
Then in your mind, the callers during this edition of Stump Rothenberg have sucked.
Been very tough. I'm not going to say that word. Very tough. And I have labeled them as such. Do I think the questions are stellar? I do not. However, again, only as good as our options, of which I have only a few more to give.
You know what? By your admission that these are not stellar questions is all I need. That's it. That's all I need.
Not,
that's fine.
Not the easiest to get.
But it's not even
Forget
the easiest
easy.
To
it's
get.
Just, it's not a question that I would ever ask somebody.
I mean, do you care? My whole thing is that you have to hear the question. Like, you know what? That's interesting to me. Do you care who the last player, first player, whatever, to hit a grand slam in his first at-bat and his 100th home run was?
Not particularly.
No, nobody cares. I mean, ask a question that actually takes some thought, not that it's just completely guessing. Chris and Bethpage. Chris is going away from the sports genre. Good morning, Chris.
Yes, Dave. And as you know, I've been calling you for 6 years, yep. And I always like to bring the A game. And I agree with you. I cannot believe some of these questions that people get on with. I'm not kidding around. That last question, who in their right mind would ever know that answer?
Well, my question to you would be, who would care?
I know. Who would care? All right. I'm going to give you a question I think you would care about because you like to think. Okay. So Trump and Biden are Uh-oh. Running in back-to-back.
Be careful here, Chris. Be careful.
No. It's trivia. It's nothing to do with politics, okay? So they're running in back-to-back elections, Republican versus Democrat, okay? When was the last time that happened? The same two people, one Republican, one Democrat, ran against each other in back-to-back presidential elections.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we got to think here now. Carter? No. Reagan, Bush, Gore? No. So I wonder if we have to go far back. So the first two was Washington and Adams, but there's no way it's going to be that far back.
Right. And if you need a hand, I can give
you. No, I want to think.
Okay.
This is a decent question. See, Carter was Reagan, but then it wasn't Carter again. First one was Carter and Ford. All right. Eisenhower, is he involved?
You're right there, pal.
Adlai Stevenson.
Beautiful. Great job.
There we go. That's nice. That feels nice.
Yeah, that seems like a question that, I mean, you could
that you can actually,
potentially ask
you can,
somebody.
You can think it through. Like, I just, if I don't know the Kazmatsui, which I did not know, I have no chance. Like, we're in essence wasting time. Right?
Unless you happen to be watching something where that happened.
Or you're watching something where they just discuss that.
Right. Like, that's why I asked the Nimmo question. Like, I didn't think I missed it. But if that's something that happens, you're like, oh, hey, by the way, this was such an impressive game. The last time that it happened was this person.
Yeah. I don't think it's great, but that's fine. I mean, if you do, you do.
I wouldn't go searching it.
High and low for Kazmatsui or
what, like it wouldn't be like a run? like Dan, the Djibouti Dan. Like I wouldn't be at the water cooler like, hey, get guys.
That's what I'm saying.
Great question.
Let's go to Jake and Chester. Jake, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Good morning, guys. All right. Now we're back to movies. I have a special George Clooney question.
Oh,
George
based Clooney, on the conversations from this week. Very nice. Yep.
Yes. So George Clooney has won two Oscars in his career, one for Best Supporting Actor and one for Co-Producer for the Best Picture. Can you name those movies? First, name the one for Supporting Actor first.
Syriana.
Correct.
You want to phone a friend? You call Sherry, see if she knows.
Oh, she would know.
No, she's got those movies.
Argo.
Got it.
Those are probably in her special drawer.
You know, how about the fact that I just got that right?
Next to the batteries.
Forget it.
That's her fun drawer. When Dave's away.
What do you think is really wrong with you?
What's that buzzing, Sherry? Mind your business.
Like, Ray, do you think he was dropped on his head as a child? Like, you ever see Chunk in the movie?
Ocean's 11's on. Leave me alone.
Really? Do you think something is... She could have had the actual George Clooney.
I'd like to be left out of this.
She fended him off because he was all over her. She didn't want any part of that. No Clooney. I don't want you. I have my dream man out there somewhere. Let's go to Steven Jersey. Steven, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, gents, first time, long time. How you doing?
Good, Steve. What do you got?
All right. It's an NFL question.
Okay.
Only player in NFL history to score a touchdown via interception, fumble recovery, punt return, and field goal block.
Punt return, fumble. George Martin had a lot, but he never had a punt return.
You say punt return.
So that's the one that makes it dicey.
Say it again. Punt return. Steve, say it again. Steve.
Yeah. Punt return.
Yep.
Field goal block.
Okay.
Interception and fumble recovery.
Punt return.
Sounds like something Dion could do.
But a
fumble recovery.
Punt return. Punt return, fumble
warmer.
Return.
You said I'm warmer.
Field goal block.
Well, he wouldn't have to block the field goal.
No, I know. But he'd have to be on the field for that. Punt return, field goal
he
block.
He said warmer, so it's not Dion.
He's a secondary player.
Secondary
plays
player.
Plays in the secondary. A little local flavor for a local flavor.
Like a Ronnie Lott?
It's a local flavor.
Well, Ronnie Lott played for the Jets. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I will say, and you said secondary player, Darrell Revis.
Ed Reed.
Oh, Ed Reed had a minute with the Jets, too. Yeah. All right. At least it's a big time
guy.
That was
a decent question. Yeah.
Decent question.
Yeah.
Try to bring it back, gentlemen.
Yeah, no, it was good. It was good.
Yeah, we appreciate that. All right, what do you got?
All right, I'm not going to go NBA. I could go NBA. I had an NBA question.
Ask it.
I like to be relevant, though.
All right.
We went through the mock draft today. Brock Bauer's going 10.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me the highest ever drafted tight end?
Highest ever drafted tight end. I can think this through, I think.
I think you could probably think this through. It does every time I think of a tight end being drafted towards the top of the first round, I go back to when Anita said that that tight end was going to go in the top five.
Was Kyle Pitts the highest drafted ever tight end?
I'm thinking of somebody else that immediately comes to mind.
Is that your final answer?
No, because you wouldn't have done that.
What do you mean?
Because he was fourth or something.
Hey, Rick, were you talking about O.J. Howard?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Dave said, I don't care if
She said he was going to go like four. Thank God he didn't go four.
He
stunk.
He's from a different planet. And you go, I don't care if he's from
some Venus or something. I can't think of a tight end going in the top three. Pitts went four.
All right. So is it your final answer or not?
I'm thinking.
Okay.
Final answer.
Give him the ding.
Let's go.
Yes.
All right. That was nice. That was nice. Now, RJ?
Yes, Dave.
Five pack.
Kaz Matsui.
Stop it. You're a bad guy.
I have an autographed Shinjo bat at home.
Really?
Yeah.
Tsuyoshi?
Shinjo. Yeah.
Tsuyoshi Shinjo. Mm-hmm. Right. All right.
Away we go, Dave.
Away we go.
Buckle up. Graham Harrell.
Texas Tech.
Nice. Good start. Darren Sproles.
Little Darren Sproles, number 43.
Little nugget.
Kansas State.
That's nice. Doing well.
Played for Bill Snyder.
You'll get this one. Chris Sims.
Texas.
Nice.
Tennessee, then Texas.
I was going to ask.
Yeah.
That's nice. Brian Westbrook.
Villanova?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's nice.
I know you said Brian. Made very sure.
And finally, Josh McCown.
I'm thinking Pac-12.
Maybe think differently.
Maybe I'm thinking Louisiana Tech.
Maybe think differently.
Josh McCown.
You're going off.
I think you were thinking of Luke McCown there.
Yeah. You're going off the beaten path, which is good.
Is it a 1A school or is it a 1AA school? I know it's not 1A, 1AA. He's not Sam Houston State.
He is Sam Houston State.
Well done.
Wow. He's not the lefty, is he?
No.
Oh, I'm not even thinking of him.
He's the one that played here.
God, he's the one that played. He's
the one that looked like Drago.
The blonde hair?
Yeah. Looked like Drago.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
It's amazing how...
It's
amazing
number,
how you...
Number
it tells,
15,
it tells you
right?
So, it tells you,
you
so much.
You can play somebody in their collegiate history, but you don't actually know anything else about them. It's amazing.
I think he wore number 15.
Yes.
At Sam Houston State?
He wore a lot of numbers.
I think in the NFL he wore number 15. Well, I don't remember him.
He wore a lot of numbers in the NFL.
At Sam Houston State. He played for a lot of teams.
Yeah.
All right.
Way to work your way through.
Currently the quarterback coach of...
Is it the
Bears?
No.
Colts?
No.
Not the Texans.
Red Washington...
The Vikings. That's why there's a tie.
We were going to get there.
But that's why there's the tie to Drake May, because he coached Drake May in high school.
Okay. Is there a Washington connection to with someone? Or no? Am I making that up?
You're going down a path right now. I don't know.
All right.
Feels like it's flaring up a little bit here.
Okay. All right. You have another one, RJ? I don't like ending on one that gave me
but
trouble.
But you got it.
But I don't appreciate that. You have another one?
Let me delve into the list. You want a tough one? Okay. I think you'll get this. Going back a little ways. Frank Reich?
Mm-hmm. Maryland.
Nice.
Yeah. Frank Reich, actually, this is interesting, had the biggest comeback in the history of college
and
professional football.
Oh, nice.
At one time.
I got a rogue Stump Rothenberg.
Wow.
From a buddy of mine.
We're running into a clock issue, though.
It doesn't matter.
Great.
All right. There are only four players in Major League Baseball history to have homered as a teenager and in their 40s. Four of them. Can you name them? Teenager and in their 40s.
Ken Griffey.
Slow down. Teenager and in their 40s.
Gary Sheffield.
Correct.
You think maybe Ted Williams. I'm thinking.
So another, a lot of New York flair with this one as well.
All right. Teenager and 40s. It's a good question. I think I've heard this before. Alex Rodriguez.
Jaguars give Josh Allen 5 years, 150.
Wow, $30 million a year. So the Burns contract doesn't look so bad. A-Rod?
Yep, it's two. Good player, bad guy. Bad guy.
A-Rod?
No. The next one. I'm trying to give you a hint for the next one.
Ty Cobb.
Yep.
Rusty Staub.
Oh, look at this guy.
There we go. That's the kind of question you're looking for.
Well, this is the kind of people I associate myself with.
You know
with.
What? You have good people. This is Brian?
It's my guy Gary. No.
Not Brian.
Nope.
Now, RJ, this is uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're right up against it. But we have to do rules by Rothenberg.
But we also have to break.
Well, so you direct me, please.
I think we have to break, come back, do rules by Rothenberg.
Well, that's where we're
going. I mean, it's its own segment.
We're going to have to do. All right, so we'll break. I feel like we did okay. Not great today. Some really difficult, somewhat awful questions. But I think we did okay.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results. Fast. Constant Contact makes it easy to promote your business with powerful tools like email and SMS marketing, social media posting, and even events management. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. Don't know much about marketing? No sweat. Constant Contact's writing assistance tools and automation features help you say the right thing at the right time, every time. Plus, you can send with confidence, knowing your emails are actually reaching your customers thanks to Constant Contact's best-in-class 97% deliverability rate. Tackle any challenge with Constant Contact's expert live customer support. Plus, everything's backed by their 30-day money-back guarantee. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm being honest.
What's the matter?
I bought breakfast for everyone.
Beautiful fruit plate.
Lost the wager to you. Bought breakfast for everyone, yeah. Right? You think that Raymond or RJ said, hey, thanks for breakfast?
Well, I mean,
no. I want to hear you defend them.
With apologies.
I said
thank you, and I said it to the wrong person. I apologize.
What does that mean?
Because Rick brought the stuff to me, and I said thank you. And even though I told him,
right? Should we have to thank you though? You lost the bet.
That is also true.
Right? Like when
so what?
When you go to your bookie, does your bookie say thank you?
Yes.
When you pay him,
no, yes, 100%.
No chance.
100%. You don't know what it's like to be in the deep underworld of a bookmaker.
Listen, if anyone knows about the etiquette when it comes to the seedy underbelling of gambling, yeah. Dave knows.
You pay the bookie and he's like, thanks.
So I'm gonna trust his shady judgment on this.
When you lose at the blackjack table, they don't say thank you. But when you're done playing and you get up, they're like, thank you. Yes, they do.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
When RJ pays the breakfast's bet, you think we're going to finish? I'm not going to be like, thank you? I'm going to say thank you?
Wait a minute.
So you say thank you every time you finish?
Every time I finish. I'm done, I'm like, thank you. I sneeze, I say thank you.
No, you don't.
I sneeze.
No, if I say God bless you, you say thank you.
Right.
Yeah.
And if I sneeze on my own, but you did, you
lost the bet.
Did you just eat mid-sentence?
Yeah, he did. He just popped the grape directly in his mouth.
Merely a grape.
Mid-sentence.
And I had to go get it. That's even the worst part.
Because that's the division of labor that we have here. You get the food. I paid for the food. Did you have to ask for the credit
card?
Did you have to ask for the credit?
No, you threw it at me mid-read.
Well, you know what? I was trying to distract you a little bit.
I struggle with the reads, and you threw it right into my read. I almost had a real slip up on the last one.
So, no problem, guys. Pleasure buying you breakfast.
Dave.
No.
Thank you.
No, it doesn't matter now.
I didn't even make you pay for my coffee. I paid for it myself.
I would have loved to pay for your coffee. You're the one that deserves the coffee.
Cassie ordered it. So I just...
So she ordered it and paid for it.
Yeah.
Well, that's not right. I should buy you a coffee.
Next time I offered to.
I gave you the card.
No, you're great. You're great.
But I mean, these guys on the other side, not a thank you. It's embarrassing for them.
I said thank you, not to you.
Great. That's great. So you're throwing out random thank yous.
It wasn't random.
Joe Knott tweets in, you lost a bet. No thank you needed. I don't agree. I still think a thank you. RJ, when you think about this now, in retrospect, do you believe you should have given a thank you?
I said thank you on the air.
He did.
You crazed maniac.
He did. RJ, did you like how I give you the little utensils wrapped in the napkin?
That's nice. You know what it is? It's his way of telling you, I didn't touch these. I wrapped them for sanitary purposes.
Right. It's a germaphobe in here.
Yeah, that's right. Because I don't know if you noticed this. Before he went to get the food, he made sure to use some hand sanitizer.
I'd like to stay clean for you guys.
Yeah. I respect it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. See how it works? That's all I'm looking for. That's all I'm looking for. RJ.
What would you like to yell at me about now?
No, I don't feel like I'm upset with you at all.
I mean, you said I didn't thank you, even though I did thank you. You're upset with the questions. I feel like I'm disappointing you. What can I do for you?
No. We have a new segment we're going to launch right now, right?
Seems that way, yeah.
Are you ready?
I mean, as long as you have the answers to the questions. Yeah.
I have the four questions here, and I have the answers also right in front of me.
So I think what needs to happen after this, we're going to do the four questions. This is the first time it's really
It's like it's Passover.
Right.
Right.
This is the first time it's really been dolled up, this segment, because it was an idea, and then we had the prototype last week. This is the first real run. So we
run through it, and then we convene as a group of four and analyze whether we like it or not.
You knew right where I was going.
Yeah, because I know you.
You do.
Thank you.
I don't know if that was necessary.
You want to fire it up?
Sure.
Thank you for saying you're welcome. Go ahead.
Please. The biggest game in Game 7.
Are rules.
No, it's not Game 7. It's Game 5.
By Rothenberg.
Is the DS4 7, by the way.
See, I like the first part of that. The 4-7 is repurposed.
That's nice.
No, those were actually different slip-ups, unfortunately.
You know, I know, but I've heard the other one.
Well, still very funny.
Well, we play a lot. We play that one a lot more.
That first one is good.
You guys could probably throw it in the if you win week two. What is that one that we use?
Yeah, we use that for like place of the week. You win week two.
Yeah, I did come across. I try not to repurpose four opens, mm-hmm. But yes.
All right, here we go. Can you please explain
that week win two and they're 0-2. Week win two.
I love his response is the best. Week win two. You'd say to yourself initially, well, this is so obvious. But I looked it up, and it's not so obvious. Can you please explain the difference between a 20-second timeout and a full timeout? So you would initially say what? Well, a 20-second timeout is...
20 seconds.
Well, you'd be wrong. A full timeout was 90 seconds, and a 20-second timeout was 60 seconds. Both full and 20-second timeouts have been replaced by team timeouts. All four periods will have two mandatory timeouts, which will take place after the first stoppage under the 7 and 3 minute mark. So the 20-second timeout, or so we think, is in fact a 60-second timeout in actuality.
Got it.
That's nice.
It's nice.
That's nice.
And now we know.
And now we know. Anthony Brander says, okay, Mr. Fancy, explain the neighborhood play in baseball. Most know it doesn't even exist.
Well, we've eliminated it.
We have eliminated it, yeah. But it's nice to know what, in fact, the neighborhood play was, and maybe still is, if, in fact, they don't challenge it. It's a term used to describe the leeway granted to middle infielders with regards to touching second base while in the process of turning a ground ball double play. Like, you come close enough to the bag, you don't actually touch the bag, but you're in the neighborhood, i.e. the neighborhood play. How's that?
Well explained. Really well explained.
I think this is something I can involve you in. Enrico Serene emails in. If there's a penalty called in hockey, and it's a delayed penalty, and then that team scores a goal, does the other team still get a power play? The answer is no, right? You don't get a power play. But I have a follow-up. This is what I'd like to know.
You should.
You don't.
Still get the power play.
Right. I'd like that as well. If it's a major penalty, would you get a power play?
Yeah.
So you would.
Mm-hmm.
So major, you get a power play. Minor penalty,
I believe that's
no power
I believe
play.
That is correct.
So you are adding information into people's lives right now. And then for the last one, I like this is rapidly moving too, right? We're not taking forever with this. I've been watching it for years, Dave, but I don't exactly understand what it is. Can you please explain the balk rule? All right, the balk rule. It's an illegal pitch in baseball. Can be called by any umpire on the field at any level of the game. Most commonly called when a pitcher makes a motion to deliver. So once you start to make a motion to deliver towards the plate, if there are runners on base and you don't wind up making the pitch and you turn and you do anything else with it, that now is a balk. So if you put your foot on the rubber, make any kind of a play towards making the pitch towards the catcher, don't make the pitch, that is, in fact, a balk. Now, there are like variations, like the pitcher delivers the ball to the batter while they're not facing the batter. There's little, like the pitcher unnecessarily delays the game can be called as a balk. But for the most part, also, and this is one that you're allowed to do in Little League, pitcher fakes a throw to first base while touching the rubber, but fails to make the throw. So that would also be a balk. So there's little like addendums to the rule, but for the most part, if you're going to start your motion towards home plate and then not go to the plate with runners on base, that is a balk. Is that explained appropriately?
It does. That's nice.
All right. RJ, that's it. 4 or 5 minutes, couple of quick explanations. Maybe you know a little bit more about sports than you did prior to the segment. Let's go around the horn. RJ, we start with you. Yes or no?
I think it has an avenue to continue.
Raymond?
I like it. It was enjoyable. I don't know that it should be an every week thing, but it's got a home. It's got a home.
Okay. Raymond? Thank you.
Thank you.
Rick?
I like you returned your thank you with a thank you.
Yes, a thank you volley. Rick?
I like it.
You like it?
Yeah, I like it a lot. A lot.
And if you didn't like it, you would
I'd
say
tell
so.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I have to say to that? Thank you.
You know what I have to say to that?
What?
You're welcome.
Thank you for that.
That's nice. It feels good, doesn't it?
It does.
It does.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good!
playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season.
Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Thank you. That's what you say. Maybe we could do, like, Manners by Rothenberg next week. I'll teach you guys appropriate, you know,
right, but the point manners. The point of this song is, like, he's Maui. So you're welcome.
He's Maui?
Yeah, this is The Rock in Moana. He's Maui. And it's like, hey, because I'm Maui, you're welcome. Kind of like how you feel about yourself. Like, you get to work with me, you're welcome.
Yeah, it all works out for me.
Exactly right.
Right.
You're the hero, and we celebrate you.
That's nice.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Raymond. So this is so funny. On Twitter... me do this for you, says, make that daily. Quick, good interaction. It's a phenomenal segment. Then you got Lucky Lou. Got to be honest. Love you guys. Rule segment sucks. You're better than that. I completely blame RJ.
You can't blame RJ because RJ was the one that in my ear as we were being asked to do the segment was like, this is dumb.
Dr. Sean Lynn. He's an oral maxillofacial surgeon.
Ooh.
Yeah. So
what does that mean?
Not really sure, but if something happens to your face...
Mickey Rourke might like that.
Yeah, he could fix it up. He says, rule segment better than the roast. So people, it seems people like the rule segment.
I don't think
that might be a bridge too far.
Yeah, I don't think that's right.
I would agree with you. But I'm just saying...
We need to slow down a little bit.
What people are saying about this segment. 1-800-919-3776. Let's spend a minute on this the mock draft. We didn't really get to analyze what Mill had here, and then we'll get back to the Knicks and the Mets and the Yankees in just a moment. So I just don't see how the Giants don't take a quarterback. And there's, you know, Mill saying, well, he thinks that Daniel Jones is and not that the fan base should dictate what you do or don't do, but I mean, what percentage of the Giants fan base would be okay if they stayed with Daniel Jones, drafted Malik Neighbors, and try to go after this thing like this yet again? I think
it would,
fan
honestly,
base would be
no
very
joke,
upset.
No joke. It would feel like what they try to do with Eli at the end.
Like kind of desperation, right?
Right. Like, let's go one more time with Eli. So, I mean, you go, you spend money on Nate Solder, you draft Saquon with the second overall pick, and that never worked out. Forget what the fan base thinks. I mean, because that doesn't matter. It's going to be, I mean... And it should.
Right. What's
what
the old
is
adage?
Joe Shane and Brian Daboll?
The more you listen to the fans, the quicker you'll be sitting with them.
Right. And I think they have to understand, too, is, I mean, and I said this to you, and you fought me, and I'm not happy that I was right, because I don't like to see you in pain. But I said to you, after they go on that, and it was, you know, close games, they found a way to win these games, they win 9, win a road playoff game, set up perfectly. Like, the team that you wanted to play that you feel like you maybe had a chance
you got
against
matched up against
was Minnesota.
Sure.
And I said to you, I said, if they do take this step back, that people will be frustrated because it's different here. And even though Joe Shane and Brian Daboll took over this franchise and pretty much told you, hey, this is going to be a year of evaluation. Our salary cap is a mess. We got to figure out what we got here, because they surprised everyone and won a road playoff game. They set the expectations higher than they should have been. And if he didn't reach those expectations, and it was more than a step back, now they fought their way back in the, you know, put the wheels back on this thing, but the way it started was brutal. And you felt like the season was already over anyway. People were pissed. I can't imagine that they thought that they would have that much heat in year two after what they did in year one.
I don't think they would have had it not been a disaster. I think had the Giants come out and been 4-4 through 8 and then, you know, lost 4 of their next 5 and then rebounded with a couple wins, I think the people would have been okay with it. I think because you wanted to know what's Daniel Jones, and he got hurt again and he looked like garbage. So now you think you don't have your quarterback and you were done in the first 4 weeks of the season.
But I think what you just said just reinforced what a lot of people thought. And why a lot of people thought paying him as much as they paid him was too much money. Like, you remember everyone's reaction when you heard what the number was initially that
he
wanted?
Yeah, it was insane. Everyone was very upset.
Like, what?
But that's what you, you had to pay him.
He wants $47 million?
Right. And then we lowered him down to 40?
Right. Like, that's a lot of money. And then, of course, all the things that you would say as a negative to why you should sign Daniel Jones for that kind of money, he turns the ball over, gets hurt too much, turned the ball over, wasn't very good, and got hurt twice,
right.
One being a season-ending injury. So that's not... I got to imagine that Joe Shane is smart enough to recognize that, A, you don't want to be picking this high in the draft again. It's not going to be good for you.
See, I can't get over, do you think that there's a huge leash for Brian Daboll?
No, but that was the second part of this. I don't want to be picking this high because I don't know what that's going to mean for our job security. And on top of that, drafting a quarterback at least gives us more time. Because
reset things,
right? But if you have an owner that's already like on record admitted, we did everything possible to ruin Daniel Jones. We did not do him any favors. He's not going to make. You'd think he's smart enough not to make that same mistake. So if you draft a young quarterback, the last thing you would want to do is put him through the same things that you put Daniel Jones through, which is firing your coach, new systems, new offensive coordinator, like all that stuff you don't want to do. So if you draft a young kid, Daniel Jones plays this year, maybe you see a little of the kid, you're going to get, I would say, probably at least 2 years with the new quarterback.
I would figure.
Oh, yeah.
At least two.
As opposed to if you roll the dice here, you don't draft the quarterback.
If you don't draft the quarterback and Daniel Jones stinks, I think you could be out. At least if you're Brian Daboll. No? You traded for an elite edge rusher, right? Now you've fixed the offensive line yet again. Now you're going to draft a major weapon in Odunze or Neighbors or whoever, and then add someone else with the second round, the expectations are going to be that you should probably be like on the verge, if not a playoff caliber team. No?
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I mean, come on. You don't think that could be a 9-win team? The NFC is not a great conference.
I know the NFC is, but look what their over-under is. I mean, Vegas does not think much of this team. You're still the third best team in your division. Right? So, I mean, I don't know if I would set the expectations there, but I have a hard time believing that if this season doesn't go well, Daniel Jones isn't good, the offensive line isn't fixed, and maybe you hear more out of that locker room that Brian Daboll isn't easy to work with, that there could be...
Especially if it's another season where week six, it's over. Right? Like, if you have a season and you fight and you win 8 games and you were 8-7 and had a chance at the playoffs and you got deep into the season, then it kind of...
But what does that do for you?
I don't know that it does anything, but
no, but
at least,
it doesn't do anything for you.
I agree with you, but at least it's like, all right, if you have another year, another season where it's like, all right, it's a lost year in week five?
Yeah, but forget that for a second, though. Even just like, I mean, what you just said, what does that do for you? If you don't draft a quarterback and you win 8 games and Daniel Jones is just okay, so now what? Now we're just on this treadmill? Like
that's right.
Having an 8-win season where Daniel Jones is just okay,
and that right there is why, in my opinion, it is absolutely vital to take a quarterback now. Because I don't want
to... If you
can. Yes, correct.
If you can. Like, you've seen, like, Minnesota has made it their business to give themselves the opportunity. I don't know if they've had conversations with Arizona already or not, or some team in that top four area. They want a quarterback. I read you the report 2 months ago about what they were trying to offer to Indianapolis to get to Anthony Richardson. That's how hell-bent they are in getting a young quarterback.
Right.
So, I mean, you might get to a point where it's just like they want to offer more than we're willing to do.
So then explain to me how if you might...
And I don't think that Bo
if
Nicks
you want
gets,
a quarterback...
I don't think Bo Nicks gets
I don't want
people
Bo
that
Nicks.
Excited.
I don't want Bo Nicks. Michael Penix, I could wrap my arms around that. Bo Nicks, I don't want. But explain to me, and I'm being serious now for a second, how I might not be able to get my quarterback, right? But winning games at the end of the season, which in all actuality are meaningless, matters for the franchise.
It doesn't. I think the people that said that had questions about Brian Daboll. That would be the only answer to that, is that he needs to prove he can fix this now and team doesn't quit on him.
So because a backup place kicker makes a field goal at the buzzer against Green Bay, now it's answered that Brian Daboll is legitimate? Or if he misses, now Brian Daboll's not an adequate coach? It makes no sense.
No, I guess. I mean, but that's, I mean... That would be the question that you would have to ask yourself in the midst of your season falling apart after getting blown up by Dallas after that first half against Arizona. Do I believe that Brian Daboll is a good coach or not? Is this because Andrew Thomas got hurt, and then Saquon got hurt, and now Daniel Jones is hurt.
We don't have Saquon anymore, though.
Well, no, but then Tyrod, I'm saying for last season, Tyrod Taylor's hurt, and now I'm with Tommy DeVito. Like, is that why this season hasn't gone well? And Brian Daboll can coach? Because if that's the case, then I'm like, hey, I don't think Daniel Jones is great.
Right.
He gets hurt too much for me. Let's lose these games, because right now paying him $40 million a year doesn't make any sense. There is no, like, the return on investment is not there.
Tell me if you think I'm wrong. I never watched Daniel Jones last year and thought, boy, he looks good. Never once.
No, there were times during the previous season that you're like, wow.
Right. So now I'm 2 years removed of watching Daniel Jones, and he's oft injured. And he's not the quarterback of choice.
And you're paying him a lot of money.
Yes. So I don't know. Makes sense to me to move on. A couple emails have come in. Mike Robbins, I liked Rule's segment today, especially on the heels of the Kaz Matsui disaster.
Debacle.
Jason Noyes says, hey, Rothenberg, thank you for being you. So to him, I say, no, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And you're welcome.
Thank you. Because that's what we are. We are sports geniuses and manner appropriate.
Respectful.
Very much so.
Very respectful.
Because I'm teaching these guys. It's like parenting here.
When you know what's going to happen? When we play pickleball as a team?
Mm-hmm. Every time we win a point?
Whenever you hit a good shot, thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm at the net, ball goes, but I think it's probably the other way around. When you're at the net and I'm kind of roaming around.
So I'm going to be at the net, you're just going to be roaming?
No. We're going to try to get to the net. But what I'm saying is, if there's the chance where your dink isn't perfect and we're getting, all of a sudden now it's sped up and I have to sag back.
You want to hear this, by the way? You want to hear what a little, you know what this kid is?
I'm going to be willing to die for you.
And I for you.
It's the kind of teammate I am.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
How about this? Alex, Dad, I want to go to this pickleball. I said, of course. May 5th, you'll be there. Yeah, I want to watch you guys lose.
Why?
I said, you little...
Is he home right now?
No, he's at school.
Call the school. I want to speak to him right now.
Get Alex out of class.
Get him out of class. I want to speak to him right now.
Yeah.
Does he understand how hurtful that is?
They think everything is so funny.
That's not funny.
I didn't think so.
He's got a real problem. He's got a real problem.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
You better set this thing straight, because this is...
You know what it is? Because I don't lay down the law at home.
No.
I'm like an easygoing...
There is no law.
I'm an easygoing fun dad. It's you know what it's like in my house? The Wild West.
Right.
I got Bill Erpis just walking around.
Say Bill Erpis. Yes.
No. What's his name? Wyatt Earp?
Wyatt Earp, yes.
Who's Bill Erp?
I have no idea. You tell me.
Blurp?
I didn't say Erpis. I said Bill Erp is.
Hang on.
Erpis.
I could have sworn you said Erpis.
I said Bill Erp is.
Is there a chance I said I told Dave if his dink isn't perfect? Because if I said that, I'd like you to clip it, because I'll probably use it tomorrow.
And how dare you? By the way, he can't find Bazam, but he's going to have these in seconds. All right. We'll break.
I got Bill Erpis just walking around.
Bill Erpis.
I got a break. 1-800-919-3776. Where we'll go in the 9 o'clock hour, your guess is as good as ours on 98.7 ESPN. All right, let's compose myself. And here we go. Now a word from TruGreen. Are you ready to elevate your lawn game without breaking the bank? TruGreen has been the trusted choice for over 2 million homeowners for over 50 years. Visit TruGreen.com today and discover the easiest and most affordable way to achieve a pro-level lawn guaranteed. Plus, enjoy TruGreen's verified price matching, ensuring you get the best lawn for the best price. Visit TruGreen.com and transform your lawn effortlessly. That's TruGreen.com. Your dream lawn? Well, it's just around the corner.
I'm your huckleberry.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.